Welcome to It's a Grand Life. Did you know that in the United States alone, 2.4 million kids are being raised by their grandparents or other family members other than mom or dad? 2.4 million. It's a Grand Life is a podcast for those grandparents and kinship caregivers who are committed to making a difference for those kids. Grand families are in every neighborhood, every city, tribe, and territory nationwide. If this is you or someone you love, this podcast is for you. Our goal is to offer hope and resources to help you. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. Welcome to another episode of It's a Grand Life. Hi, my name is Craig Nash. I'd like to welcome you to another It's a Grand Life. And I think you're really going to enjoy our guest today. She is Ruth Walsh, and she is here in Michigan, where I am. And we're just commenting on how wonderful our weather is with the overcast skies, which is a typical Michigan winter. Although yesterday, believe it or not, it was 73. But Ruth, we're so delighted to have you here on It's a Grand Life and can't wait to hear about your interstate guardianship program. It's just I've talked to a lot of folks that are guardians like myself, but I haven't met anybody who has got one foot in one state and one foot in the other state. But thanks so much for being our guest here on It's a Grand Life.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. There's always something different, but it's always good to hear the different perspectives because it certainly helps you feel like you're not living somewhere on an island, you know?
Well, I don't know about you, Ruth, but when I started this podcast, I said, boy, this is going to be great because I'm sure there's not too many of us out here that are raising our grandkids. And then I found out there's 3 million of us, 3 million kids nationwide. And we're not alone at all, but you have a very unique situation. But before we get into that, why don't you give us a little bit about your background? You've got a very interesting background here in the Metro Detroit area, and then how you became this outstanding interstate grand family.
Yeah, well, so I was born in Michigan, Southeast Michigan here, and graduated from the University of Michigan and with an degree in engineering and started my career, I guess, out of state. Which brought me to eventually Minnesota, where we were for, I think, 11 years.
Okay.
Yeah, which is what I had. I graduated later, so I had 4 kids by the time I graduated. And then, so they were all born here. And so we moved to, by the time we were in Minnesota, basically they were raised in Minnesota-ish. I mean, for the most part, most of their schooling and that, and then we they were all grown by the time that we were transferred back to Michigan. But this time, following my husband, we worked together in 3 different jobs, and we usually follow each other job to job. But this time, I followed him back to Michigan, which was great for me because my family's here.
Right.
Yeah. So, but we came with a grand.
Right. So you had your careers led you and your husband to Minnesota and then back to Michigan, and I have met engineers in the past where they have a similar situation where the husband and wife work together, and in fact there's folks in my neighborhood, both the parents live in Michigan here, and they both work at GM, which is, it's a huge company, so that makes sense. But you had your kids and they were raised in Minnesota. And then you have this grand family situation where you are raising your grandson, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, yeah.
And how did we get there?
Okay, so my son, it's my son's child. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was 19. His son was 4 months old.
Okay.
They were young parents.
Yep.
So, it was about a year later. I was working at a job that happened to be out a little bit of ways from where we were living, so anyway, she had been asking me to take him, and I once said, no, this is your child. And I eventually realized that, she was serious and in crisis. And so I agreed. And so it was a day before his first birthday.
Wow. Okay.
And here I'm working full time. So I arranged for someone to pick him up. They had him for a friend of mine, my friend's daughter and her kids about his age, had him for about a week until I arranged the daycare and the things I needed to take him in. And then he came to live with me. And then at that time, we only did, not knowing what to do.
Right.
We were like, well, how can I get, I can't get daycare. I can't do anything because I'm not his parent. So we did the, I think it was a power of attorney,
Okay.
which really is, it's not legally binding or anything, right?
No, right.
But you didn't know at the time, I thought, oh, she signed a thing. We're good. No, you're not. So 4 months later, she did take him back. And then I was living, after that, I was living back closer to home.
Okay.
Then I helped her for that all about a year to, I tried to help her be the parent, right? So I made sure she had the diapers and the clothes. I was driving her back and forth to work. I was doing all the things to make sure that she had what she needed. But she, not long after, had wanted me to take him. And at this point, I was thinking, no, because we did this and you took him back. And that's heartbreaking.
100%.
It's heartbreaking.
Right.
So I said, no, I'm going to help you be the parent and we're going to continue this. But then that became it became apparent to me that I had to say yes at one point. and I did. And do you want to know those details or do we just want to say?
You could just share whatever you want, but there's a lot, there's turmoil going on because you love this little guy and you want, obviously we want what's best for our grands.
Right.
And on the other hand, we have, at least for me, Ruth, I had this belief all along that my daughter was going to step up and be the parent.
Right.
I just believe she's going to be the parent. I know she loves her daughter, and I still believe she loves her daughter.
No,
But it, it was not going to happen. But then you brought out a very good point that yes, just because you have the power of attorney does not mean you have authority over anything. Wait till the young man goes to school. You can't even talk to the teachers with the power of attorney.
Right.
So you are having this challenge with your grandson's mom, but it sounds like everybody's on pretty good terms, which is, that's really good.
Well, right? So I was helping her out, and then it turned out that she was pregnant again with another child, but not my son's. And so I ended up helping her with that child too. And I was there for the birth. Actually, I was there for the birth of both of them. And then I was there babysitting two babies now, helping her. But in the end, she ended up giving my grandson back to me and the other one to his father.
Okay.
And, but it became apparent to me that I needed to do this that one day. I mean, I just saw the living conditions at one time when I had to pick him up.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, okay, I agree. Just where is his coat? And I it was like this emotion of, just sheer like you hear the things and you kind of know the things, but until you see the things, it's like, it's not real. So when I saw it, I was just like, that's it. I'll take him. And it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So I agreed and I took him, and then, but I went straight to a lawyer. Cause I wasn't going to go through this again. He can't keep going. This is not good for him.
Absolutely not. You're right. Yep.
So I got a lawyer and they drew up in Minnesota's custody. So I actually have custody.
Okay.
Permanent physical legal custody. They came in, both of them, and signed everything. Right. So done. I have Gus in Michigan. It's the equivalent of guardianship.
Okay. Is it adoption in Minnesota or no? Mm-hmm. Is it adoption in Minnesota? It sounds like
no. It's just custody.
Okay, custody. Okay.
So I have custody. So I have to show the custody paperwork everywhere, you know, to prove I have the authority to do anything, right? Which is fine.
Right.
So he came to live with me permanently and pretty much never heard from her personally again. There's another story there, but it's fine. So, you know, then we got the job. My husband got the job in Michigan and we discussed it and, you know, came back here. Now, also because of my son's situation, I was also guardian for my son. And that was a lot to handle, you know.
Yep.
So in the end, what happened was I lost the guardianship of my son. And which I don't really want to go into that. And I was like, just, I don't care. I have his son, my grandson, is my priority.
Right.
You know, my son is an adult and I, so there's that side of things because, you know, I'm going to forever worry about my son and his condition and his issues and what's going on with him, you know, but I have to keep saying my grandson's my priority, you know?
You know,
so it's, not the same. You think I'm just raising another kid. Okay, yeah, I've done this before. No, I haven't. No, nah, it's a different child. It's a different era. You know, things have changed. We know better. And my son. You know, I see my grandson, and he is my son in miniature. Everything about him.
Isn't that something?
That's crazy, you know? Right. So it's hard to not think about my son, you know?
100%. And our granddaughter's the same way. She is, if you have, we have a picture of her at 5, and when my granddaughter, my daughter at 5 and my granddaughter at 5, they are a carbon copy of one another. And right. My granddaughter reminds me of my daughter every day, and she lives right now in the streets of Detroit, and we miss her every day. And and very optimistic that things will turn around, but it's out of our hands at this point. We were so great at hoping and wishing and praying that this was going to turn around. We had such a hard time making the call. I don't know about you to say, okay, we're going to take our granddaughter. But we had a friend from the old church that we went to in Northville, and this lady was 80 years old and was just finishing raising her grandson. He was 18, graduating from high school.
Right.
And she turned to my wife and I, her name was Millie Dreisbach, and she said, you know, you can really only raise one right now. You can only choose one, and right. one has made their choice, and the other one has got their whole life ahead of them. But the right. call is your call. And that really helped us solidify right. that, you know, we've got to do this for our granddaughter, and it sounds like that's what you did for your grandson.
Right.
So now you're back in Michigan.
Yeah. And
you've made another change, if I'm not mistaken, career-wise, right? You're now...
Oh, I'm trying. So I had to basically come home because, well, we moved here and preschool is fine. He was 3. And then by the time we tried to put him in kindergarten, it was just a disaster, you know? So he has since... we tried 2 years and there was just behavior, lots of behavior issues. And it's, you know, really heartbreaking. You know, because we're trying to work and they were calling me literally every single day to come pick him up because they can't touch him. They can't do things, you know, like he's flat out in the middle of the, I don't know, one time he was in the lunchroom floor and they can't touch him because they legally can't touch him. And I'm like, can't you just pick him up and take note? We can't do it. You need to come and get him. I'm just like.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's.
Why can't you just like put him somewhere safe? Well, we can't. So what they were doing was. Using staff to have a perimeter around him to keep him. I was like, oh my gosh, this makes no sense to me. So anyway, after a lot, that just went on. So the first year we pulled him out, it took maybe 2 months, 5, put him back in at kindergarten at six, thinking maybe it'll be better. Same exact situation. It was just like, okay, I'm done. So I pulled him and brought him home, and we've been homeschooling ever since.
Okay.
So I've been homeschooling probably about 5 years. I was an engineer for like 20 years. So yeah, so then right before I had actually got custody, and I had finished a program in a health and wellness program with an integrative nutrition program, and I thought that I wanted to, help people. I just really have a heart for helping people, but I had to
Right.
figure out what I'm going to do with that, because then I got my grandson and then all the things. So now last year I went back, and I'm like, oh, this is the only thing I could think that I could do at home with him here.
Right.
I can't work outside the home.
Right.
So yeah, so I'm thinking about, I'm not thinking, I am working on becoming board certified as a health and wellness coach, and
Outstanding.
I prefer to work with groups and or individuals.
Okay.
And as far as my focus, I haven't decided 100%, but it's definitely more like, creating, my business is called Balance Simple and Healthy.
I love that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's basically the goal. And there's always, things we can do. And I'm thinking of starting a workshop actually right now because of this. I mentioned to you off this call about a book I had read.
The was that Raising Good Humans?
Yeah, and I am just, it's like having been, okay, I was obviously raised by parents, right? And then I raised kids, and then it's like everything has changed so much, that I read this and think, wow, if this is how we interacted with people in general and humans and, just, I mean, it's not leniency. It's just not, it's trying to, you have to actually make an effort to see, pay attention to your feelings and where people are thinking, and, try to be, come up with solutions that aren't traumatizing, to solve parental problems, which to me, I'm like, wow, if we could just do that with people and life in general.
And
So I'm thinking of, coming up with a group to go through that together as a program, because I need it myself, and I wouldn't mind, going through it with somebody else.
that is just a great idea. And what are you calling that class again? Balance.
Oh, my, the business I registered, it's called Balance Simple Healthy. Yeah. And then this would be a group program for the Raising Good Humans book. I would like to go through that, because
Well, you'd
that
like
would
to do a
be
small
such,
group on that, right?
yeah, I want to do small groups, because that would be great to have support together, as we learn these things, because it's all different. I mean, it's just very different. It's interesting because my 30, how old is she? My older daughter, she 30, 1990, she'll be 34. So she's always telling me, Mom, you need to learn about mindfulness, and you need to do this, the modern thing. I'm like, I do yoga. I told her, yeah, maybe I don't know.
Well, if you wanted to put something on our Facebook page, regarding your Raising
Right.
Good Humans small group, I'm a big believer in small groups. I think that's where change comes, when we're across the table from one another and we're, I mean, there'd be maybe a lot of folks would be interested in that. Would you do it virtually or would you
Yeah, probably virtually. But it's just so hard, because I don't know how that we were all raised, but maybe differently, because I knew other family, but it was a lot of yelling. I mean, and my parents did, they meant well, but it was more like a listen to me or else scenario.
And they would brag about it, just, oh yeah, we just, right,
You
we
just
would just
you
held their
listen
feet
out
to
of
the fire and,
fear.
yeah,
And it's like,
right.
is that really the way we want to be? What if we learn to cooperate out of, collaboration
100%.
and caring and about each other, not, making people listen to me kind of thing, because it just seems like that's the whole world.
I
What I
totally,
say, oh my gosh.
I've been listening to a gentleman named Jamie Winship, who is a former CIA officer that had that goes into hostile areas and diffuses conflict. He's been in all, yeah. He's been in Gaza, he's been in Israel, he's been in, you know, Iraq and Jordan and all these okay. countries. And he just deals with folks' fear. That, you know, if you can, you know, overcome your fear, then you put your guns down, you know, because right. we're all the same. We all want good schools. We want good food. We want air conditioning to work in right. the summer. And when you really break it down, it's all about families and making sure everybody's okay. But when we get this right. scarcity mindset, we get afraid. And right. I love what you're doing with the raising. We need more good humans. So by
yeah,
all means.
Yeah, we do. And it can't be all selfish, all about me. You know, we live right. in a community with neighbors. And
right.
there's just too much of it. Just
too much self-promotion and self-protection, right?
Yeah, or control. Like,
control.
Oh gosh, it's... what about collaboration, working together, being a good neighbor, being a good person? And why don't we do that with our kids? Why when it comes to our kids, it's like, just listen to me, and I don't know why they don't listen to me. I'm like, wait a minute, you know?
Right, it's just... And I don't know about you, Ruth, but my granddaughter is still has some issues with... some anxiety regarding, sure. You know, are grandma and grandpa going to be here? I mean, there's just this concern of, you know, what's this going to look like? You know, and all my friends have a young mom and dad, and you know, and I've got these two fossils with their walkers. I mean, not literally, but you know, this fear in the back of their mind, like, oh, you know, it's this, what's going to happen here? But you know, we just have to continue to love them. And I love this idea of, you know, just empowering them and encouraging them every way we can and not raise, right. not a Gestapo camp, but, so you have this situation with your grand at home now in Michigan, you've changed right. your career, your husband's rocking and rolling in his new career. Right. How has this affected your marriage and your other kids?
We are doing good. I mean, I would say I married my best friend, and
that's great. It's good.
I would say that right around the time that I had gotten custody, we had some struggles and it was mostly due to the kids and their issues, you know? So we separated for a short time, and then I got Zabril, and then, you know, but he was always my best friend. We were just like fed up and stressed. Couldn't even handle all the things, you know?
Right.
But I mean, we do good. I think it's a little stressful on my husband now with me, you know, not working though, because that was kind of like a shock. It was kind of like a sudden decision, even though it was a necessary decision.
Yep. So
he certainly does work a lot right now. And I don't know if that's just I mean, you have to, you know,
right.
Anyway, that's why I would like to contribute too, because I just feel like it's somewhat of a burden.
Well, the last couple of years, costs have not gone down at all. Mm-hmm. They've gone up significantly, and you're used to a certain lifestyle with the two engineers, right? And then that's an adjustment any way you slice it. But are your other kids supportive of you raising your grandson?
Yeah, they're supportive, but I have kids that struggle and too. So, you know, you're always a mom to the adult yep. kids, right? So, of yep. course, there's my son, he's struggling. And I'm actually now trying to figure out how to get him moved to Michigan, because I feel like he's stuck in a system in a state where he has no familial support whatsoever.
Right.
It makes no sense to me that... You know, how is he ever going to do? But I don't want to be like directly involved, because
right.
I have other responsibilities.
100%. You know? Well, you'd like to have access, right? You'd like to see him.
Yeah. It'd be nice if he was closer, just
right.
not too close.
I get that. It just the closeness, you know, sometimes brings chaos, and we have
yeah.
enough chaos. And
right.
So, what are the three things you wish you knew prior to taking the responsibility of your grandson?
That parenting isn't done when they turn 18.
Man, isn't that the truth?
It has nothing to do with raising a grandchild. Because honestly, I think that was one of our attitudes. And I don't know if it was because it was a the way that maybe my husband or raised, we were all just like, take responsibility, you know, I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah, no, you're always going to be their parent, you know. I mean, I'm not saying to, you know, do everything for them. They should, you know, make their own decisions and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean you're done. You know? So I think that my son probably, the son that is ill that I'm raising, his grandson, I think he probably needed a little bit more support than I gave him, because I think that by the time he was 18 and we were, you know, that attitude, just go, you're done, I'm done. No, you're not done.
Right, right. So you'd give all necessary support per child. Each child probably needs a little different level of support. But not just, you know, close the doors at 18.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah. So, and, I mean, and you look back and think, too, and I've heard other guests of yours say that you wonder, one of the things you can get stuck in is, where did I go wrong and what did I do? And you might not have done anything wrong, you know?
Right.
So me saying this is, what could I have thought of or remember? Yeah, that's on the lines of, what did I do wrong? It's not really wrong. It's not wrong. It's just you didn't know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And when you know better, you do better. That's all. So I'm not going to go and say that, you know, what did I do? Because I have my youngest is like, oh, you were never there. I was there. I just worked, you know, and after work, you know, we went to all the activities and all the things.
But right.
In her mind, all she remembers is, you know, she went to school, then she went to after school, and then she went to activities, and she somehow feels like she was neglected and abandoned. I'm like, I don't even understand that.
It does blow your mind when you're killing yourself and just trying to make the keep the wheels heading in the right direction, and they think, boy, I was left out in the cold. You're like, what are you talking about? We went there.
That's her experience, and she has to deal with that. And but you can think, oh, what did I do wrong? And it's like maybe you didn't, you know?
Right.
You made the best decisions you could with what you had, and you know.
So you have to forgive yourself, is what I'm hearing. Is that right? You got to give yourself a little grace.
Yeah, or think, you know, did you really do anything wrong? You may not have, because once they're adults, they make their own decisions, you know, and they have consequences for those decisions. It doesn't mean you did it. You didn't do it. You didn't make them make their decisions.
Right.
And that sometimes is hard because you think you are responsible. You are responsible, but you're not really like that kind of responsible. You know?
Right.
I mean, maybe there's things people did that they regret, but I don't think I did anything specifically.
Right. And you know, and it's coming at you pretty fast if you're like our situation. You know, you've got life going on, you know, especially with multiple kids. You've got this one doing that, and the other one doing this, and you've got college issues or what have you. And then this baby comes along and you're like, man, I got to take care of this grand. This is not going the right way. And I just, like all the grand families we've had on the program, I just take my hat off to you, because it's such a major change to the family and to the lifestyle. And it's absolutely the right thing. But doesn't mean it's easy.
No, and I think you have to learn that it's okay to grieve a perceived life lost too. Because, like, you know, that's a thing where you can just sit around and regret, like, you know, I had all these plans and now I can't do them. Well, yeah, okay. But if you can't live in that, which I have had times when I just, like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? This is not what I planned. And, you know, you're allowed to feel, I think you're allowed to feel that way, but you have to process those things. Because if you don't, then you're just going to live it in that, you know, and you can't.
Ruth, this is really good. This is, you know,
stuff you can still do. It's just maybe not the things you thought, you know,
or maybe not now, you know, right. I mean, just maybe down the road a ways, but it is an adjustment. You know, we've got a lot of friends that are, you know, down in Florida for a month or two at the, you know, in the wintertime, because Michigan's weather is so much fun. And you know, we can't do that. You know, our whole, all of our vacations are all tied to the school calendar.
Right.
So it's a, and you thought you were through with that when your youngest got out of the house, but no, that's not the case anymore. But
no, it's not. And I mean, and he's not the only grand. So that is a little weird too, right? So I've got one calling me mama and then a bunch calling me grandma. And he did finally, through therapy, we addressed this, but he's funny because he doesn't want to talk about that. Like, he knows I'm grandma, but he doesn't want to talk about that because I'm his mom. You know?
They want a mom. I guess
we'll see where that goes when he gets older.
Well, you know, you've just given us some good things to chew on here. You know that the parenting's not done at 18, and you know when you know better, you do better. So there is a growth continuum here, and you know, adults need to make their own decisions. I really like that, and also, it's okay if we grieve the life we lost.
Yeah,
you know, and this is just absolutely great, and. Great stuff to chew on. And Ruth, I hope you will come back and share with us from time to time how things are going and what you've continued to learn and what you could pass on to our listeners. And because this has been a challenge. You've got one child in Minnesota and you've got your grandchild here in Michigan.
Right.
And but you guys are making it work. And it's not easy. So I just want to thank you so much for being our guest today and for all that you've shared. And it's so good to have you. And but you gave us some awesome things to sink our teeth into. And do you have any parting thoughts before we head off the air today?
I can't think of it. I mean, we're just one of the families that has not adopted. And, you know, for us, it's probably the interstate problem, you know.
Yeah.
You know, having to get a lawyer there, get a lawyer here. And that's not bad. I mean, it's just a decision, right? So one way or the other, I mean, it's, you know, you're still there. You're still,
right.
You know, for us, still his parents. And that's not bad. You know, I mean, you can't just, I have done that where I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to parent, but you know, I have to, which is why I'm reading all these parenting books and going, okay, I can't just ignore this part of it. You know,
I totally hear you. That's we're in the same boat. We thought we were through it, but now we're revisiting it and the game has changed, but
it's not like a grandchild just living with you, because if you think of it that way, then you're going to be more like of a grandparent to that child,
but then
they don't have a parent. You know,
yes,
whether you want to do it or not, you know, you just have to come to terms with that part of it. I think that you have to also be the parent now.
I agree. Yeah. And our grand has another set of grandparents that she goes to visit them every other weekend. They're wonderful. And you know, we get jealous of that relationship sometimes. They can be the fun folks. You know, We can't be fun all the time. We've got to work on the book report and review the times tables and all those things. I don't want to do that. I know. I don't want to do it either, but we got to do it. But
managing the raising of a good human part. And that's just like, I don't want to do it.
No, I don't want to do it. But but you guys, you know, from the bleachers where I sit, you're doing a great job with a lot of moving parts. I just want to encourage you today and just be encouraged. And you and I are part of that OLSA support network here in Oakland County. And it's just so good to know we are not alone. And we're
I need that.
And you're not alone. You're doing a great job. And I can't wait to see as we progress down this road together where this ends up. But thanks so much for being our guest here on It's a Grand Life.
You.
And you're making it a grand life, especially for that little guy. And
good for him. It can be good for us too. We just have to decide, you know, that this is just different. It doesn't make it bad.
it's different. It doesn't make it bad. No, but you're adjusting. So
we'll
look forward to catching you down the road a piece. And when we can check in and see how things are going in the Walsh camp. And until then, thanks so much for being our guest here on It's a Grand Life.
Thank you for joining us today for It's a Grand Life. It's a Grand Life provides vital content, regulatory updates, and subject matter experts that are committed to supporting the 2.4 million kids and their caregivers from every neighborhood, every city, every tribe and territory nationwide. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. As caregivers, we are united in purpose. We are driven by hope while providing strength for today and hope for tomorrow. We are truly making a difference in while living the grand life. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, please reach out to us. But we'll see you next time for another It's a Grand Life. Thank you for joining us.